Good morning. This is Akashvani and I am Abhishek Mukhopadhyay with the World News. The headlines. Atrocities against minorities continue in Bangladesh. A Hindu businessman shot dead and a woman allegedly gang-raped. External Affairs Minister Dr. S. Jaishankar interacts with participants of French Indian Young Talents program in Paris. German Chancellor Friedrich Merz to pay first official visit to India on 12th of January. Iran's nationwide protests enter 10th day. US President Donald Trump warns of supporting demonstrators if violence escalates. Venezuelan leader Nicolas Maduro pleads not guilty to federal charges in New York's court. And in badminton, Malaysia Open 2026, set to begin today at the stadium Axiata Arena in Kuala Lumpur. In Bangladesh, atrocities against minorities continue as a Hindu businessman was shot dead in public by unidentified assailants in Monirampur Upazila of Jessore last evening, triggering panic in the area and raising fresh concerns of a law and order ahead of the elections. The victim was identified as Rana Kanti Bairagi, alias Rana Pratap, son of Tushar Kanti Bairagi of Aruwa village in neighbouring Keshapur Upazila. The 45-year-old victim owned an ice-making factory in Kapilia Bazar, where the incident took place around 5:45 p.m. yesterday. Rana Pratap also served as acting editor of Narial-based daily BD Khobar. In another incident, a Hindu woman has alleged that she was gang-raped, tied to a tree and brutally tortured in Kaliganj Upazila in the Jinayada district. According to police, the victim, a widow, also claimed that her hair was cut and a video of the abuse was recorded and shared on social media. The police said the woman filed a case with Kaliganj police station yesterday, naming four people, including two men and two women, as accused. One of the accused, Hassan, has been arrested while efforts are underway to detain the remaining suspects identified as Shahinur Islam and Rupali Khatun and Mosamat Mukta. External Affairs Minister Dr. S. Jaishankar interacted with participants of the French Indian Young Talents program by Chamber of Commerce and Industry, France, India and Paris. In a social media post, Dr. Jaishankar said he discussed the transformations underway in the world and the importance of India-France collaboration in that context. The minister also met Executive Director of International Energy Agency, Fatih Birol, and appreciated his assessment of the global energy scenario and his support for India's growth and development. During his visit, Dr. Jaishankar will meet the French leadership in Paris and hold talks with his counterpart Jean-Noël Barrot. They will discuss the progress made under the India-France strategic partnership and matters of global importance. Dr. Jaishankar will also address the 31st edition of the French Ambassador's Conference as a guest of honour. In the second leg of his visit, External Affairs Minister will visit Luxembourg. Chancellor of Germany, Friedrich Merz, will pay an official visit to India on the 12th and 13th of January at the invitation of Prime Minister Narendra Modi. This will be Chancellor Merz's first official visit to India. External Affairs Ministry said in a statement that on the visit, he will be travelling to Ahmedabad and Bengaluru. Prime Minister will receive Chancellor Merz on the 12th of January in Ahmedabad. The two leaders will take stock of the progress made in diverse aspects of the India-Germany strategic partnership, which completed 25 years last year. The discussion will also focus on further intensifying cooperation in various sectors. Prime Minister Modi and Chancellor Merz will also engage with business and industry leaders and exchange views on issues of regional and global importance. Iran is witnessing its most serious wave of unrest in 3 years as nationwide protests enter the 10th day. Security forces have tightened their presence across major cities, even as U.S. President Donald Trump warned that he could side with demonstrators if violence escalates. The protests were triggered by a sharp collapse of the Iranian rial and surging inflation and have spread from Tehran's Grand Bazaar to more than 220 locations across at least 78 cities in up to 31 provinces. We have a report.
Iran's leadership is now trying to balance dialogue with preparations for a tougher crackdown. Officials fear that prolonged unrest could destabilize key provinces and affect major trade routes. The judiciary has taken a firm position, with its chief declaring no leniency and ordering prosecutors to act strongly against the rioters, while saying that the states will still distinguish between peaceful protesters and those causing violence. The unrest is being driven by a deepening economic crisis. Iran's currency has lost nearly half of its value over the past 1 year, while inflation has crossed 40%. This has reduced household incomes and increased public anger, especially among the traders, students and workers. What began as a protest over the economy in late December has now turned political, with crowds openly calling for a change in the leadership. Tensions have also risen because of warnings from Washington. West Asia remains on the edge after months of confrontation between Iran, Israel and the United States. United States President Donald Trump has said he is ready to act if violence against protesters increases, while Israeli officials have publicly supported the demonstrations, adding to Iran's security concerns. This is Vinod Kumar for Akashvani News from Dubai.
In Japan, a strong earthquake hit western parts today but ruled out any danger of tsunami. According to the Japan Meteorological Agency, the quake with a magnitude of 6.2 located at a depth of about 10 kilometers inland occurred in Shimane Prefecture in northwestern Japan. No injuries or damage were reported from the quake. This is Akashvani and you are listening to the World News. We bring you the top international news and updates from around the globe. Venezuela's leader Nicolas Maduro pleaded not guilty to multiple federal charges during his appearance before a New York City federal court. Maduro raised questions over the legality of his arrest during his first appearance in court, claiming he was detained at his residence in Caracas, Venezuela. The remarks signaled what is expected to be a central plank of his legal defense, that is, arrest by U.S. law enforcement on foreign soil amounted to an unlawful operation. Maduro's legal team has described the arrest as a military abduction, arguing that the late-night operation violated international law and due process protections. Delcy Rodriguez, who served as a vice president to Nicolas Maduro, was sworn in as an interim president of Venezuela yesterday. Rodriguez was sworn in by her brother, National Assembly leader Jorge Rodriguez. Rodriguez has served as Maduro's vice president since 2018, overseeing much of Venezuela's oil-dependent economy and its intelligence service. But in 2014 and 2017, she served as the country's foreign minister. President Donald Trump has said that the U.S. will be receiving more than $600 billion in tariffs. Mr. Trump asserted that America is far stronger in national security and financially because of the levies it has imposed on countries around the world. In a social media post, he said that these policies have improved the country's finances and strengthened national security. Within months of his second term, the president has used tariffs as a national security and foreign policy tool, imposing massive tariffs on countries around the world. Greenland Prime Minister Jens Frederik Nielsen rejected fears of an imminent U.S. takeover, despite Trump's repeated interest. Nielsen's remarks came after U.S. President Donald Trump has expressed interest in Greenland, calling it strategically vital to U.S. defense days after U.S. military operation in Venezuela that led to the capture of President Nicolas Maduro. Denmark and European allies have also warned about the serious security implications backing Greenland's sovereignty. In badminton, Olympic medalist PV Sindhu set to return in action at the Malaysia Open 2026 beginning today in Kuala Lumpur. The season opener, a top-tier BWF Super 1000 tournament, will mark a fresh start for Sindhu after an injury-hit 2025 campaign. Indian Women's Singles Challenge in Kuala Lumpur will also feature Malvika Bansoor and Unnati Hooda. In the Men's Singles Paris 2024, semi-finalist Lakshya Sen and Ayush Shetty will carry Indian hopes. India's prospects in the men's doubles will be led by two-time World Championship bronze medalist Chirag Shetty and Satwik Sairaj Ranki Reddy. Meanwhile, India's challenge in the women's doubles event will be spearheaded by Trisha Joly and Gayatri Gopichand. And now, before we close, here are the highlights of the bulletin. Atrocities against minorities continue in Bangladesh. A Hindu businessman shot dead and a woman allegedly gang-raped. External Affairs Mr. Dr. S. Jayashankar interacts with participants of French-Indian Young Talents Program in Paris. German Chancellor Friedrich Merz to pay first official visit to India on the 12th of January. Iran's nationwide protests enter 10th day. U.S. President Donald Trump warns of supporting demonstrators if violence escalates. Venezuelan leader Nicolas Maduro pleads not guilty to federal charges in New York's court. And in badminton, Malaysia Open 2026, set to begin today at Stadium Axiata Arena in Kuala Lumpur. And that is the end of this news bulletin.